I am glad to welcome back Dr. Matthew Hurt. We called him Brother Matthew for a long time. It still fits. Sometimes I wonder if brother isn't better than doctor, but indeed the credentials are real, and he has been using them to serve King Jesus. He can tell the rest of the details, but he is now at North Greenville University in South Carolina. I know North Greenville in South Carolina. Sister Heather, where is she? Okay, very good. So you guys will want to make sure before you get out of here today that you greet them and let them know how glad you are that they have been able to come back and just stir our hearts and bless us, and make sure they know how often they have been in your thoughts and your prayers as King Jesus has taken them away from us and led us other places so that they might serve him. That is why we're here. This life is not about you, and it isn't about me. It's about him. If you make it about him, you'll find your life. If you make it about you, you'll lose yours. That's what Jesus said. And so I'm just incredibly delighted to have Brother Matthew back here preaching the word. And I hope he stands up here, and as soon as his foot hits the platform, it feels like home again. Because in our hearts, brother, you guys will always be united to us. We've always thought fondly of you. We've always prayed for you. We've always desired God's blessings on you. And when you guys win, Sister Heather, we win. We love you, and we're so grateful to have you back. Preach the word. We're anxious to hear it.
Make sure that's not... There we go. I do want to... Heather and I wanted to share something with Bethel Baptist Church because we want to thank you first and foremost for supporting us and praying for us while we are serving in Nigeria. Nigeria was a tough place. I'll talk a little bit more about that this morning. Not a lot, but some. But we do want to thank you. Missionary service is hard, and serving cross-culturally is hard. Some of you have been in Jennings County your whole life, and you're happy with that. My dad's one of those kind of guys that he's just happy on his farm, and he doesn't travel too far. And honestly, when he traveled down here, that was about as far as he went most years. And so, but that doesn't mean there's a big world out there that needs your prayers, that needs Jesus. And so, there are some widows that handmade these items that we had. We picked these up. So if you can't see that from the back there, it is the shape. Stand on this side as well. Okay. Oh, the microphone's in the way. So that, see that? We have good wives. And so this is the shape of Africa, a map of Africa with a cross covering it. And it can be hung up anywhere you'd like here in the church. And so, but we did want to share this with Bethel as a thank you for supporting us, encouraging us, praying for us, giving to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering to support missionaries all over the world.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad to see my slides are in the PowerPoint. So. Also, as I was preparing this message this morning, it occurred to me that this year's a bit of a milestone for me, that in August of this year, we'll mark 10 years since the first time I came here to preach at Bethel. And September of this year is actually when the 10 years since I came to, Heather and I came to serve here at Bethel. And so if you're sitting here looking at me this morning going, wow, he got old. One, it's been 10 years since, you know, since I got here. And two, just remember, that goes both ways. I'm not calling out any names, so, but just know it goes both ways. So, and Heather, of course, since we've been here, has been told numerous times, you look exactly the same. But they don't say anything to me. So I can just assume that what you're inferring by that. My message this morning is entitled, Blessed to be a Blessing. And if you have your Bible, go ahead and take that out. We're going to be in Psalm 67 this morning. This is one of my favorite psalms in all of Scripture. It's actually one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. And I've been thinking deeply on this passage for several years now. It's an amazingly missional passage, but I think it's one that speaks to our church today. During my time in Nigeria, I had a student who came and visited me in my office. He had graduated a few semesters earlier, and he was struggling to find a church to serve. And he was coming to ask me to pray that a church would call him to come and serve as their pastor. Now, before I prayed for him, I asked him some questions. I asked him, what are you currently doing in ministry? Tell me about who you're sharing the gospel with. Tell me about who you're discipling. Tell me about how you're currently serving in your local church. And the student confessed that he wasn't doing any of those things. He was simply waiting for a church to call him, and he wanted me to pray that a church would call him to come and serve as their pastor. And my response definitely shocked him, because I looked directly at him and I said, so you're asking me to pray for God to allow you to continue in disobedience to what God has commanded so that you can lead a congregation? How are you going to lead a congregation to be obedient to Jesus if you yourself aren't even following the most basic commands and meeting the most basic expectations for disciples of Jesus? Sadly, that student left my office disappointed. He had come seeking a blessing, but what he received was a call to repentance for obedience to Christ. And many times I think we feel the same way that student did after our baptism. We sit around and kind of wonder, now what? Now what? I'm a believer. I've been baptized. Is there more to this Christian life than just showing up to church about once a week for the rest of my life? Do we get to just sit back and wait for God's blessings to come? In Psalm 67, we see that God has promised the blessing of his presence for the purpose of equipping and empowering his people to proclaim the gospel to all the nations so that all people from every nation will worship God. Follow along with me in Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us, Selah, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations rejoice and shout for joy, for you judge the peoples with fairness and lead the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has produced its harvest. God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, as we look at what it means to enjoy the blessing of your presence, Lord, Lord, help us to see what you have called us to and what the purpose of that blessing is. Lord, help us to see how we are blessed to bless others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So first, as we see in verse 1, God promises the blessing of his presence to his people. God promises the blessing of his presence to his people. We need to back up just a little bit as we look at this, because there's some historical content and context to the first verse of Psalm 67. The first verse of this is almost a direct quote from the priestly blessing of Numbers chapter 6. In Numbers chapter 6, 22 through 27, we see these the Lord speaking to Moses. He's giving a command to Moses, and we see the Lord spoke to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. You should say to them, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. And in this way, they will pronounce my name over the Israelites, and I will bless them. So this first verse, it's almost a direct quote from this priestly blessing. And this, in Psalm 67, it served as a reminder that God, who created them and who had saved them from slavery, promised to be with them with his presence. Right? And the blessing in the book of Numbers, right, the way that God promises to bless them requires him to be near to them. He can't be distant from them and still bless them in the way that he promises, right? Look at what he says here. He promises, I will protect you. You can't protect someone if you're far away from them. He promises, he promises to make his face shine upon you. Again, this is impossible unless God is near you. He says, I will be gracious to you. Again, God promises an ongoing relationship with them. And even when they fall short of his standard, as long as the Israelites desire a relationship with him, he's going to be near to them. He's going to be gracious to them. And he says he's going to look with favor upon you. And again, you can't look on someone at all if you're far away from them, unless you're nearby. But even more, God looking on his people with favor, it's not just looking on them adoringly or lovingly. Favor here carries the meaning of lifting them up. He's lifting them up. And lifting them up for what? Well, he's lifting them up from slavery to sin. Which leads to the final part. He promises to give them peace. A God who's far away cannot give you peace. He cannot give you peace. And the only way we can have peace in this life is through forgiveness to sins. So when we come to the first couple of lines of the priestly blessing in Psalm 67, it's intended to remind Israel of the entire prayer. But Israel had taken this blessing as an end to itself. Somewhere along the lines, Israel began to take the presence of God for granted, began to take it with nationalistic pride. They saw the blessing for their own good and their own good alone. And it's easy for us to stand here and look at these verses and wonder, how could they have missed this? How could they have taken this blessing as a blessing for themselves alone? But I can't help but wonder if many Christians today are guilty of the same. In Nigeria, the biggest issue that we dealt with was the overwhelming influence of the prosperity gospel. Most Nigerian Christians assume that God wants to bless them with health, wealth, long life, large families, big houses, and expensive cars. Most Nigerians believe that if I give to God, then God is obligated to give me more back. And in fact, this is true about many Christians around the world today, and it's true about many Christians in the United States. And in fact, if you like to go home and watch a preacher on TV, there's a very good chance that that person is preaching a gospel that cannot save you. If you can imagine, it actually gets worse. Jesus promised to send his Spirit to indwell those who are his disciples, and too many Christians today think that the Holy Spirit provides them with gifts for their own use alone, or for their career advancement. Right? But again, what does Scripture say? Why does Jesus send the Spirit? Jesus said in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And every Nigerian would amen that. Every Nigerian Christian would amen that. Many of you want to amen that section also. Power, right? That when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will have power. We want power. But we overlook the second half of this verse. We overlook what the purpose of this power is. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. To the people who are like you, to the people that are kind of like you, to the people you hate, and to the people you really hate. You will be witnesses. Jesus said the purpose of the Holy Spirit was to give us power to be his witnesses. Witnesses testify about what they have seen and heard. That's what a witness does. I see Gary in the back there. Gary knows very much what a witness does, what their job is. It is to testify about what they have seen and what they have heard. If you read through 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, we're not going to look at that, but Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, and the refrain that Paul sings repeatedly is that the gifts are for one of two purposes, that building up the body of Christ or for proclaiming Christ to unbelievers. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to build up the body of Christ and to proclaim Christ to unbelievers. In other words, Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit to empower and equip us to serve one another and proclaim Christ among the nations. So let me ask you this morning, do you delight in the presence of the Lord? Or do you make the mistake of assuming that God has blessed you and that's it? Do you think the blessings are for you to enjoy alone? Do you have the peace of the presence of the Lord? And if you don't, then I want to ask you today, what would it take for you to seek peace in the salvation that God offers through faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection as payment for your sins? How bad does it have to get in your life before you're willing to surrender to Jesus to enjoy the peace that he offers? This brings us to the purpose of God's blessing. In verse 2, the purpose of God's blessing his people is so that they can bless others. The purpose of God blessing his people is so that they can bless others. Now, what this is, let me say what this is not saying. This is not saying that God blesses me with money so I can be generous to others. That's not what this is talking about, right? It's true. You should do, if you have money, you should be generous with it. That's called stewardship, and it's discussed in other parts of the New Testament. But remember that biblical blessing is God's presence and his peace. So what does God say about the purpose of his blessing? In verse 2, so that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. The salvation may be known among all nations of the earth. The promise of God's presence is not for our own benefit. My friend and mentor George Robinson puts it this way. He describes it as the prepositions of the gospel. The prepositions of the gospel. He says, we are saved from sin. We are saved for God. We are saved into the church. And we are saved onto mission. Too many times we rejoice in the salvation that we have received alone. And in previous generations, at least, we could assume that at the very least, believers would come to church. But the last few years, that's not really been the case. The rise of streaming services online has made it very easy for us to be passive spectators in church. We can sit home in our comfortable clothes and our comfortable chairs and watch the service online while thinking we are fulfilling some obligation. Unless you're sick or unless you're traveling, you need to be in church. God saved you into the church. a community of believers who not only need you, but you need them. But we are called into the church so that we can be sent back out onto mission. Let me talk to Gretchen for a moment specifically. Gretchen, your baptism is not the end of the journey. In fact, it's the first step of obedience in a lifetime of service to Christ. You get to serve the most loving, compassionate, and powerful King. And the same is true for all of us. Every single one of us here this morning who has been redeemed by Christ and made the visual profession of faith in baptism, that wasn't the end. That was the start to a lifelong journey. And if you're alive here this morning, you're still on that journey. You are still called and you are saved on to mission. We get to serve the most loving, compassionate, and powerful King. We should rejoice in that. So let me ask you, what are you doing to make Christ known among the nations? What are you doing personally? I know what Bethel's doing. What are you personally doing to make Christ known among the nations? Giving to missions is good. Bethel is one of the most generous churches I've ever seen in giving to missions. And this is good. I want to commend you for this. We need to support missionaries as they carry out the work that God has called them to do, and we are so thankful for that. But if you give to missions and think that excuses you from being personally engaged in making disciples of all nations, then you're treating your giving as an excuse for disobedience. That should worry you. Giving is good, but it does not relieve you of the command of Christ to make disciples of all nations. The Great Commission is not a suggestion, it's an obligation for all disciples of Jesus. It's also an opportunity. In Nigeria, many parts of Africa have a lot of Christians, but they also have the problem of the prosperity gospel. Additionally, Nigeria has over 500 languages. 500 languages. Keep that in mind. Nigeria is about 1.5 times the size of Texas, with over 200 million people and over 500 languages. Over half of those languages do not have scripture translated into their language, and they remain unreached with the gospel. Now, how can that be with a reported about 100,000 Christians in Nigeria? How can there still be so many people who don't have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, because the prosperity gospel kills missions. It's a false gospel. It gives false hope, and it provides no solution to life's deepest problem, sin. Look at South Asia, where Heather and I previously served, in the country of Nepal. South Asia has more than 2,500 people groups with a population around 2 billion people. That's with a B, 2 billion people. And nearly 1,000 of these people groups, over 50 million people, have little or no access to the gospel. Let me show you one other map. This map's really interesting. I just saw this a few weeks ago. Within this circle on this map, you'll find more than 50% of the world's population. You'll find 67% of the world's unreached people groups. You'll find 29 megacities with over 10 million people in each one. 99% of the world's Hindus, 99% of the world's Taoists, 98% of all the Buddhists, 92% of all the Jains, and 78% of Sikhs, and 50% of all Muslims live within this circle. Only 4.2% of the people are evangelical Christians. There's great need. There's great need. Yes, there's need for giving. There's also need for praying. How often do you pray for the nations? Do you know how to pray for the nations? In light of the information that I just shared, your prayer for the nations is essential. Not just for the missionaries, but praying that God would be would be lifting up and preparing people to hear the gospel, but also that the Christians who are there are faithful and bold in proclaiming the gospel. The Great Commission doesn't just belong to us. It belongs to all believers in all places at all times. The IMB has a really good prayer app. You can sign up for their newsletters. I'll leave that QR code up there for a minute if you use your cell phones. I don't know how Brother Ricky feels about you. I'm giving you permission to pull your cell phone out this morning. The IMB has a really good prayer app, and you can use it on your phone. It sends you prayer updates every day that you can pray for all sorts of places around the world. You can sign up for their daily prayer emails. You can get a monthly prayer guide if you want on their website. But these are some excellent sources. And I know it's also Annie Armstrong season, right? We're praying for North American missions. And the North American Mission Board has a really nice prayer calendar that you can get for free that covers an entire year. I think, do you guys have one still here? So I mean, if you want to see one, there's one here in the church. Again, I'm talking, and I'm just chasing something down here real quick. The nations are coming here. I was down in Louisville yesterday. I was at a missions conference down there hearing about reports and studies that are currently being done. And the United States is one of the most diverse countries in the world. There are people from almost every country in the world somewhere in our country. We have opportunities here to not only pray for the nations, but share the gospel with them. Sometimes people from places that we can't even go to. We should see these as opportunities rather than threats that God has, in his providence, has put before us. So giving is good. Praying is good. Going is also good. I just want to challenge you. Have you considered going on a short-term mission? Or even considered whether God might be calling you to long-term missionary service in North America or internationally? Now, some of you might be thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could live cross-culturally. I don't know if... Let me put it this way. Nobody's prepared for that. Nobody's prepared to live cross-culturally. But what does Jesus promise us? I will be with you. Not only will he be with us, but he will be in us. The Holy Spirit equips us and empowers us to be witnesses. Now, you'll have to learn. You'll have to learn a language, probably. Language learning is hard, but it's worth it. When you have the opportunity to share the gospel with somebody in their heart language in a way that they can understand for the first time in their life, there's no greater joy than seeing a life transformed because they've heard about Jesus. If that's too big of an ask, I'll ask more simply. When was the last time you told your neighbor about Jesus? I'll let you think on that. So what is the result? At the end of Psalm 67, after verses 1 and verses 2, we see the result of this message going forth, this proclamation of salvation among all the nations. We see what the response is. The result of God's presence and our proclamation is the nations worshiping God and enjoying the blessing of his presence. The result of God's presence and our proclamation is the nations worshiping God and enjoying the blessing of his presence. We see, let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. And I want to be clear, this isn't just a group of individual people that we're talking about here. Peoples, it's intentionally plural. Peoples refers to all of the different people groups and places on earth. And it looks forward to this vision of Revelation 7, 9, and 10, where we read, after this is John writing, after this I looked,
And there was a vast multitude from every nation, tribe, people, and language, which no one could number, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to their land and to the Lamb." So in Psalm 67, let the peoples praise you, God. Let all the peoples praise you. What is the content of their worship? What is the content of their worship? First off, they praise God. They give praise to God. And this includes proclamation to others about the goodness of God. When you hear praise God, I mean, I know we're Baptist, but I mean, how many of you can go, "Oh yeah, praise God"? Even Baptists aren't that quiet. Praise the Lord, praise God. It's loud. It's not as loud as a Nigerian service. Nigerian churches, we wore earplugs in church in Nigeria. So that's no joke. So we actually did. But we still, praising God is not a quiet thing. It is something that we can't help but share with other people. And as they praise God, as we proclaim to the nations, and it results in praise to God, they're praising God and proclaiming God to others, other peoples. Right? And again, this is a reminder, the Great Commission does not just belong to us. The Great Commission belongs to all of God's people across all time and all places. As we make disciples, we are also discipling them to make disciples. They praise God. They rejoice in his lordship. Now, I haven't been back in America for too long, but I remember well enough that Americans don't like being told what to do. We don't like the idea of somebody, especially people who are in authority, telling us what we can and cannot do. We really struggle with lordship. Because even though, right, we want the benefits, we want the blessings, but we struggle with Jesus as Lord. And that means that I'm not my own person. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're not your own person. We submit to his lordship. And when he says to do something, we do it. When he says not to do something, we don't do it. And it doesn't matter what we feel like. "Well, I don't feel like telling somebody about Jesus today." Well, Jesus says, "Do it." "Well, they might get mad at me." Well, who are we more concerned about pleasing? Jesus. Amen. Absolutely. So, you might need to listen to Rose. In addition to praising God and rejoicing in his lordship, rejoicing, not tolerated, rejoicing in his lordship, they also reflect on the blessing of God's presence in verses 6 and 7. They see that God has blessed them with his presence. Look at this. "The earth has produced its harvest. Our God blesses us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him." They see that God blesses them with his presence. They believe that God will continue to bless them with his presence in the future, and this blessing will lead to all the ends of the earth worshiping God. As we close this up, let's think about this. There's a world waiting to be introduced to Jesus. We know that people from every nation, tribe, people, and language will worship around the throne of God, but the nations are not merely an end to the Great Commission. As soon as you lead someone to follow Jesus, they are called to embrace the Great Commission as their own. And yes, they're called to live a life that is marked by forgiveness of sins and conformed into the image of Christ. Yes, we're called to turn away from moral wickedness and live a life of moral purity marked by repentance. But we're also called and commanded to faithfully make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that Christ has commanded. And that includes making other disciples. You were saved from sin. You were saved for God. You were saved into the church, and you were saved on to mission. As I call Brother Ricky up to give the invitation, just let me close with this. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May he make his face shine upon us so that we may know that his way may be known on earth, his salvation among all nations.